Hear and believe the good news that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word is proclaimed, we may hear what you are saying to us today. Amen. The Bible readings. The first reading is Apostle Paul's letter to the Colossians, chapter 1 from verse 11. Colossians 1 from verse 11. Apostle Paul says, "May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power, that you have all you may have all endurance and patience, joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers. All things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross." This is the word of the God, of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Psalter is Psalm number 46. It's on page 770. And we use response 1. God is a refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth should quake, and the mountains fall into the depth of the sea, though the waters of the sea rage and fall, and the mountains tremble at the tumult. The God of Jacob is for us a refuge, strong and sure. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, sanctifying the dwelling of the Most High. God is in the midst of the city. It shall not be moved. God will help at the break of the day. Nations are in tumult. Empires are shaken. For God speaks and earth melts away. Come and see the refuge and shore. Come and see what God has done, the wonders wrought upon the earth. God makes wars to seize it all the world. God breaks the bow and snaps the spear and burns the shields in the fire. Be still and know that I am God, exalted among the nations, exalted in the earth. The God of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is a refuge. The God of Jacob is for us, refuge, strong and free. The Gospel of Gospel reading is from the Gospel of Luke chapter 23 from verse 34. Luke 23:33. When they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots to divide his clothing. And the people stood by watching, but the leaders scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him: "This is the king of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding him and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come in your kingdom." He replied, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing in your sight, O Rock, O Lord, O Redeemer. Amen. Today we celebrate the reign of Christ. This is the reign of Christ Sunday, and this is the last Sunday of the liturgical year. So next Sunday is the first Sunday of the new liturgical year, because next Sunday is the first Sunday of Advent, and the liturgical year begins with the Sunday of Advent. So I feel a little bit uncomfortable. The interesting thing, the difficult thing, is that ages ago, the reign of Christ Sunday, the message, was nothing special. But as the world is changing around us, the reign of Sunday, what it is giving us, is getting more and more difficult. Imagine you have a big family. Imagine that your family is moving in the wrong direction. Not a lot, just an inch every year. But you keep in straight line. What is going to happen? Sooner or later, people will see the distance between you and your family. Because they move a little bit. They move a little bit, but you keep straight. And if it happens, there is a distance. A distance is created. And this is for us the big problem. The reign of Christ, the message of the reign of Christ, is getting more difficult and difficult every year. As the world is moving in the wrong direction, and the reign of Christ a Sunday comes, we need to ask ourselves the question: are we part of the problem or the solution? Let me tell you. Let's start with the beginning. The reign of Christ Sunday is the youngest, the newest celebration in the church. It is as old as the United Church herself, itself, because the reign of Christ Sunday was established in 1925. The year when the United Church was founded. 1925 was a difficult time in the history of humanity. And the reason why the Pope, Pius XI, came up with this idea, the reign of Christ Sunday, or Christ the King Sunday, because he saw political ideologies overwhelming people including church people. In 1925, fascism was not bad. Fascism was only a thing. People haven't tried out yet. It was an idea. In 1925, communism wasn't bad. It was just something people were playing with. They didn't know the ramifications. They didn't know the ramifications of fascism. They didn't know the ramifications of communism. They didn't know there was a Second World War coming. Everybody was excited because everybody put their hopes into those ideologies. And the basis of this ideology was very simple, that we, humanity, we are grown-ups. And as grown-ups, we can get rid of God because God is holding us back. Because it is us who tell the people and tell ourselves what is right and what is wrong. And I, believe me, I've read enough books about fascism, and I lived in socialism, Marxism, so I know that the bottom line in both cases was, it's not the church, it's not the Bible, it's not God, it's us who will tell you what is right and wrong. But the problem is that message was not that foreign, because that message was actually coming from the Garden of Eden. Because the snake, when approached, the Satan, when approached Adam, he said that, look, I think you are old enough, wise enough, mature enough, enlightened enough, everything enough to know what's the difference between right and wrong. You can decide. And ever since that garden event, this is what we like to believe, that we are mature enough and enlightened enough to know the difference between right and wrong, and we need any outside help. And of course, those ideologies hated God and they hated the Bible. Why did they hate the Bible? Because the Bible said something difficult. Bible said that if God is real, your loyalty, absolute loyalty, belongs to him. Your loyalty doesn't belong to you. Your loyalty doesn't belong to your tribe, belong to your nation, belong to your family. It belongs to God. Which means if your family turns against God, who should you choose? Your family or God? And your answer is helping you to know, thank you that nobody said anything aloud. You are careful people. That was a joke. So, but this whole message is very difficult. This whole message is very difficult because you can stop and you can ask, so if God says something and my best friend says the opposite, should I choose God over my best friend? If the teaching of my government is against the word of God, should I be loyal to God and not my government? If my nation is doing something And everybody is called to do something. But the Word of God is saying the opposite. Do I have to stay loyal to the Word of God? Do I have to stay loyal to God? And this is the problem. This is the problem. And this is what I remember when I was a kid, we still had a ton of material, written and printed material from a couple of decades before, from the 40s, when the fascists were very active in my old country. And what did they say? We have to rework and re-edit the entire Bible. Because the Bible is basically good, but there are certain things we cannot accept from the Bible. And then the communists came and they said technically the same. And ever since, somebody comes to you and says, the Bible must be revisited. The Bible must be re-edited. The Bible must be altered. You should ask the question. Yeah, I can see that. You want to remove something from the Bible, but why? Because you need the place for something else. And what is that something else? That's the question. If somebody wants to edit the Bible, this whole concept of Bible editing is always removing something, because something else needs the place. Something else needs your attention. Something not biblical must be on your radar. And of course, if you like the idea of re-editing the Bible, revisiting the Bible, working through the Bible, removing certain stuff from the Bible, you can ask yourself, am I part of the solution? Am I part of the problem? So, and of course, today, and this is why it is still a difficult thing today, the reign of Christ is still a difficult thing. Because we have new theology. We have a new theology. And you can read magazines with new theology. You can go to church meetings, annual meetings, conferences when we have this new theology. And you can learn that the sin is not really a moral or a human problem. It's a systemic problem. It's a systemic problem. It is about racism. It is about patriarchy. It is about inequality. And the Bible is giving us a different image. The Bible doesn't say that racism is good. The Bible doesn't say that inequality is good. The Bible doesn't say it's good. The Bible says it's more. When you see a problem, the Bible says your heart is part of the problem. But new theology says no. So who do you believe, the Bible or the new theology? Or the good news, the gospel, is a liberation from oppression. But the Bible says that Jesus died for you on the cross, and you are saved by grace, not your pedigree, not your background, not your achievement, not your goodness, not your anything, just grace, nothing else. So one of them is right and one of them is wrong. Which one would you choose? And that answer will tell you if you are part of the problem or the solution. And of course, identity. In progressive churches, they talk a lot about sexuality, because that is identity. That is, gender, race, and sexuality, they are identity-forming elements. But the Bible says our identity is coming not from race, not from gender. Our identity is coming from Christ. From Christ. What do you think? The end of the day, it doesn't matter what I am telling you. The end of the day, it is your decision. The end of the day, it is your decision. It is your choice. What is your identity? You can have a modern identity. Race and gender. You can have an old identity, tribe, family. The Bible says both of them are wrong, because our identity is Christ. Our identity is Christ. And of course, this whole concept of right and wrong and this whole issue of repentance and holiness, and it is talking about changing society. The difficulty for me is a very strange feeling. You know what the strangest feeling? It's called déjà vu. I've been there. I've heard this before. I've heard this before. It's a very strange thing, because my childhood is coming back. Not because I'm getting old. I'm getting old, don't get me wrong. I'm getting old. But the world, the ideology, the brainwash is coming back. The same thoughts, saying, this is the new thing. It says, goodness me, this is the new thing. I've heard it 50 years ago. I grew up in this 50 years ago. And this whole thing that we need to re-edit the Bible. We need to critically approach the Bible. There's always one thing behind that. To remove certain elements. God. When God says, you love me with all your heart, with all your might, and all your strength, that needs to be removed. Because your loyalty, something else, someone else requires your loyalty. And the cross of Christ, our salvation, is removed. Why? Because we are not bad people. And the death of Jesus was horrible. And it was truly horrible. But I am not that bad. Because if the cross of Jesus is real, and that death on the cross had to happen, and that was the only solution for my state, for my condition, that was the only solution, I must be in a big trouble. And that doesn't make me feel good. And whatever you come to me with, whatever message you come to me with, and whatever you are telling me, and that doesn't make me feel good, I have the right to reject. And that is part of the new theology too. So, the two readings are a little bit strange, because Paul's letter to the Colossians is very much like a love poem to Jesus Christ. It's like a love song. It is like a romantic love song. And a lot of people believe that this was, because when Paul wrote this, Christianity was banned. Christianity was persecuted. There were no printing press, there were no Bibles. This was one of the things the people who wanted to join the church had to learn by heart. This was one of the creeds, one of the first and ancient creeds of the Bible. That he is the image, Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. In him, all things in heaven and on earth were created. Things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions, or rulers or powers, all things have been created through him and for him. It sounds like an ancient creed. Sounds like the something people had to learn by heart. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. So, there is a biblical teaching. There is something which is coming from the pages of the Bible. What we recognize as the word of God, as the absolute truth of God. And there is something else out there. And the end of the day, you choose. If you don't choose anything, that is a choice. If you don't decide, that is a decision. So, the gospel saying that, the gospel says two things. Two difficult things. The gospel doesn't really make any sense culturally. In any culture, it doesn't make sense. Basically, the gospel says we are more lost and more hopeless than we ever dared to accept. And you don't want to hear that. Because you wanted to say, I'm not that bad. At least, I know at least one person who is worse than me. Do you know a person who is worse than you? I'm happy to hear that. And that was a joke again. I'm sorry. That's not my day. So the gospel says, we are absolutely hopeless. We are more hopeless, and we are more wicked and sinful than we ever dared believe. At the same time, we are more loved and accepted than we ever dared hope. And that's not good either. Because deep in my heart, I want to earn my salvation. Because if I can earn my salvation, I can look down on other people. Have you seen, do you know Mr. Bean? Do you know that character? There was one sketch, you can check YouTube, that sketch. He was playing Toby the Devil. And he has a list of people who go to hell. And he saw people coming, and he's sorting people out as he, the devil, in hell. You see? Oh, the French. The French. Please stand there next to the Germans. Some of you laugh and some of you don't laugh, but what's the point? This is our nature, to look down on people. But if the gospel is true, that we all come to Christ and we all receive salvation through grace, I have no right to look down on anything, anyone. Because I was saved by not anything I've done, but I'm saved by grace. Undeservedly. And of course, a lot of people say, no. It's too narrow. And my answer is, maybe, but bring me a system which is wider than this. Everybody is invited through Christ, through the cross of Jesus. Everybody is invited. Everybody gets in the same way. The price, and the third thing, the price has been paid. Please, I'm listening to you after the service. If you can give me a system which is more open, I'm all ears. Everybody is invited. Everybody gets in the same way. The price has been paid through Christ. I said all this to you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.